And we're back. Work and play, people. Good thing.
Yeah.
Episode 43, and we are going to celebrate the holidays with some cheer as we do coffee cocktails. I'm really excited about this. And the assortment, the yummy array of goodies is absurd to our left.
Yeah, I kind of raided my liquor cabinet and my girlfriend's liquor cabinet, and we have enough stuff here to make 5 different coffee cocktails.
And 3 horses drunk.
Yeah, pretty much. So we're going to see what happens. Yeah, so we're going to be tasting 5 different coffee cocktails, and through this, we'll talk a little bit how we're going to use coffee, because using hot coffee might seem like an easy solution. I actually went to a place back in college that made a ton of hot coffee options, but we're going to learn today that cold brew, when you're making cocktails, is your friend, and it's going to be pretty amazing.
Awesome. And for me, I just said, Christian, can you handle the cocktails? Can you get the recipes ready? So I'm basically going to the bar here and just letting the bartender take care of me while I ask questions. So the first thing we're going to taste today, though, is not a cocktail. What is this?
No, so every once in a while, one of you podcasters are brave enough to say, hey, do you want to get together and chat about coffee sometime? And one of our loyal podcast listeners, Peter, who we've talked about before, and I think he inspired a couple podcast episodes.
Yeah, I think he did.
At least one of them.
My dad gave us the idea for this one.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, so we got together and talked coffee. Peter lives in Mexico for a good amount of the year. He's back home. I think he just had another kid.
Oh, nice.
And so they're raising a family up here for a couple months and going back to Mexico. But he lives in an area of Mexico where they're considering growing coffee for the community and kind of teaching the community how to do coffee well. There isn't a lot of coffee in this area of Mexico, so we just had some real conversations about, like, what does it take to grow coffee? What does it look like? What does infrastructure look like? And he was kind enough to bring me a 4-pack of local liquors from this area of Mexico.
Nice.
And I'm off the top of my head, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was telling me about this one in particular, so I thought I'd bring it in. And it's a aguardiente, which we've tasted an aguardiente before. And aguardiente just means fire water. So it's okay.
Literally.
But this is, according to Peter, a local kind of tradition where they actually take the juice of mangoes, they still that, and so this is 100% stilled mango liqueur.
Okay.
Fire water. It's actually a liquor. It's a 40% alcohol.
So, I see. So, they fermented a mango mash.
Exactly.
It's kind of like mango brandy, actually.
It's pretty much mango brandy.
All right, let's do it.
Nice.
This is exciting.
Yeah. I have agave and agave liqueur and mango liqueur as well at home, but this is cool. No, this smells really good. I'm going
to... Oh, yeah. Holy smokes. Restraint. Restraint. Man, that smells really good.
15 milliliters?
Cheers.
Cheers.
It's the body of gin.
No, it tastes like a brandy to me. It really does taste like
So I know jack about brandy, actually.
Except for that cognac that someone bought once for some
for my
occasion.
Birthday.
Yeah. Yep,
I think that was my 25th birthday. So Christian bought me a bottle of cognac. And it was before I was, into whiskey and spirit, so I was just sort of learning. And so my wife, Alicia, had him pick something up, and it was cognac. And it was quite good, as I remember. I just wish I could go back and taste that now after all my journey through whiskey, because that's the only brandy cognac I've actually ever had.
So it's kind of brandy-esque towards the front, kind of nondescript, kind of medicinal, but the aromatic on this is just
fun.
Crazy. Like, it seriously tastes like mango candy. And it's not like an artificial Bacardi or, is it Malibu? Malibu's that fake tasting rum. I don't know, whatever my girlfriend drank in college. Yeah, so there's really artificial tasting rum, and this tastes natural, and it's just crazy.
Mm, and it's good. I bet this would be great as a mixer.
I could see making a pisco sour, except subbing the aguardiente in there, or a caipirinha, something like that.
I'm glad you know
a mojito. Mojito, yeah. So leading into this, I was kind of reflecting on this, and I've been thinking about this the last couple of weeks. We drink a lot of bourbon around here, and it's just kind of kind of cool to drink bourbon, kind of neat. I actually vision myself more as a cocktail guy. I actually enjoy a well-crafted cocktail, but I've steered away from it. One, because it takes a lot of ingredients to actually make a good cocktail at home. So you're going to spend $60, $70 on getting all the kind of mixers, and you have to make sure they stay good.
Yeah.
And then in the city of Milwaukee, there are a lot of places that claim to be good cocktail places that I'm not really fond of because they use way too much simple syrup or simple syrup bases in their cocktails. And for me, like a well-crafted cocktail means you can taste all the components, and if you have high-end liquor in it, you have to taste that liquor first. Like, you're not trying to just cover it up and get people, you know...
Wasted. Yeah.
I was thinking of a different word there, but yeah, wasted works just fine.
All right. Well, this is good. Now I'm anxious to get into our coffee cocktails. So thanks, Peter. So that's two episodes in a row where our drinks have been provided for us. So thank you to our loyal listeners. You make it worthwhile. So what are we going to start with here on this coffee cocktail spectrum?
So,
and those of you who are watching, it 2 weeks before Christmas, this is going to launch like the day after Christmas, but hopefully you can get some inspiration from this process.
So I think let's start at the really basic stuff. So a really traditional coffee cocktail. And my brain went to, like, we could have done like coffee with chocolate syrup and throw some framboise in there, so like some raspberry liqueur, or you could throw some mint in there. I don't really feel like doing that.
Right.
But Irish coffee is something that often like comes up.
And this so is, you have this dope.
Yeah, this is my girlfriend Liz's. It's actually from Ireland, which is pretty sweet. So there's like a traditional
Irish. And you
Irish,
know that because it has a clover stamped on it.
It's made in Ireland.
So you got this, or it's Liz's.
It's Liz's, and it's a traditional Irish coffee cup. I'm sure she doesn't drink this because she just recently started drinking coffee because I introduced it to her, which is cool. And so it's Irish coffee is coffee, hot coffee, Irish whiskey, and cream with a little bit of simple syrup. So super very simple, but it's really easy probably to screw this up in terms of ratios. So Facebook Live, you guys get to watch all this. I'm actually going to assemble this.
Yeah,
get my recipes.
I might move the camera so they can at least see what you're doing.
That's cool.
Do you need a scale?
No, we're going to weigh everything out. Or I have.
You're going to do it all volumetrically?
Yeah, volumetrically.
Volumely?
All right, so a traditional Irish coffee recipe here is brown sugar. We're going to use Turbinado simple syrup because I made that. It's pretty easy. 1.5 ounces of Irish cream or Irish whiskey, a little heavy cream, and then hot coffee. So would you mind running out to the cafe and just getting a little pitcher full of hot coffee?
Hot
and
coffee.
Then I'm going to start whipping some
I think
cream.
We're doing French today. All right, got the coffee.
I thought we were going to whisk. We don't have a traditional bowl, so I'm going to go to the frothing method.
Oh, nice.
So, little hack for you guys at home if you don't know this, and hopefully this gives us enough space to do this in.
Volume. So, yeah, you can froth heavy whipping cream or half and half with a French press just by pumping the plunger. But you have to do it, like, super fast to aerate the cream. But it gives you a delightful texture, like latte-style texture. That constant knocking you hear is Christian plunging the whipping cream, which if you're on the book face live, you're watching this happen.
We're going to pretend like that's all the way up.
Okay.
It'll taste fine.
Magic of the cooking show.
If you have naturally, I have a little French press. I didn't bring the rest of the apparatus, though. If you have like a little frother at home, that's a good way to do it, but we're just going to go with this. And the secret, I guess, behind a good Irish coffee is you want to have layers in your beverage. So it's usually like in a glass cup. So we have this opaque one. It's not helping us out. So you put in your Irish whiskey, you put in the coffee, and then you take a spoon and you actually pour the frothed cream on top so it goes in a layer.
Mm.
And then you're supposed to sip the entire beverage in one sip. So the coffee and the whiskey pulls past the cream and actually gives you better aromatics. At least that's what they claim.
The rumor.
Yeah.
So when the coffee... So coffee and whiskey are going to mix just by themselves, though.
Yes, they will. Yeah. As will the simple syrup, because we got to add a little sweetness to it.
So we're using Jameson. Not sponsored by Jameson, though. That's a bummer.
No.
It's okay. It's all right. If you want a good Irish whiskey, you should try Grenor. Greenore. We tasted that once on the podcast. It's good stuff. It's a single grain Irish whiskey.
Man, this is going to set up really nice. I was kind of hoping with coffee with a little more punch to it. So I think when you're using lots of sweet things, when you're using lots of cream, you need a coffee with some roast on it. Otherwise, it's going to taste sour.
Like bulletproof?
Like bulletproof. That's exactly where I was going to go with that.
That was rough.
That was really rough. All right, so we're going to take our froth cream here.
Quote, unquote.
Quote, unquote. Yeah.
Unlike
the magic television, we have no one else to wash our dishes.
We got all cream. It was all cream.
Did you tilt it back?
Well, there's only so far you can tilt it. Did you?
Mm-hmm.
It's milk mustache game strong, though.
Yeah, that's actually really nice. It's cream heavy.
Yeah.
But it's nice and sweet.
It's really good. It's super good.
Yeah. Only use heavy cream when you're making cocktails, too. Don't skimp on milk or skim milk. Don't drink a ton of them. My recommendation, go full fat and enjoy just a little bit of the full flavor, because you have flavors that are fat soluble, and you can only get that with heavy cream.
And this is super good. Good job on that.
Yeah.
So you gave them the recipe, right?
Yeah. And what we can probably do is, we can put a blog post up.
Yeah, we can do a blog post.
And link to the blog post in the show notes.
Yeah, so stonecreekcoffee.com. You can click on the blog link. When this goes live, we'll put up the recipes. So we got three more cocktails to try, three more cocktails to make.
Four more.
Four more. Never
I actually
mind.
I committed to four, and I came up with five. So
okay.
Should
so
we
won't drink all of them.
All right,
second cocktail. We got...
So we're going to transition away from hot coffee now, because I just don't think you can really do a lot more with hot coffee.
It's pretty volatile.
Cocktails.
Yeah.
It's volatile. It changes the way it is. And if you have a bad brewer at home, it's kind of harder to do this. What's easier to do is to use cold brew. And so what I've done today is I've actually taken some of our, this is Lava Flow, so Costa Rica Hellstar, it's a Cultura, and I made a really concentrated cold brew, which is like one part coffee to five parts water. So super concentrated, and I'm going to treat it just like you would with a liqueur. So
that's brewing at three times the normal coffee dose that we do with like a drip coffee.
So we're going to treat it like something that's really concentrated. We're going to treat it as like a normal ingredient in stuff. So the next cocktail that we're going to make with coffee is going to be a coffee White Russian, which I don't know about you, but like this is one of my first cocktails that I really enjoy because it has this kind of like chocolatey sweet and it's made with cream. And you think Big Lebowski.
Right, yeah. If you're a fan of The Dude, you've probably tried a White Russian.
Do you know that there's a Big Lebowski Fest, in Milwaukee every year?
I did
so not. So they have like a cult showing at one of the parks where everyone dresses up like characters from The Big Lebowski and they just have like White Russians available. There's a bowling tournament for the Lebowski
Whoa.
Fest. And then they just sit around and watch The Big Lebowski. It happens once a year at Cathedral Square.
Really?
Yeah.
That's probably
I wanted to go and I haven't gone. So in order to make this kind of a coffee geek style cocktail, like we could just use Kahlua and call it a day, but that's not as cool. So we're going to use cold brew. So this recipe calls for 2 ounces of vodka, 1 ounce of Kahlua, but I said, screw that. I can do better than that. So I took that same Lava Flow last night. I ground it up coarse and I actually infused the coffee, or I infused a 7-year rum with the coffee. I added a little turbinado simple syrup. So I actually made my own Kahlua, which is better than Kahlua.
You would.
Yep. So
yeah, I'm going to try this.
A little sip of that. Compared to Kahlua, pretty amazing.
That is amazing. That's really good.
So we're going to have the same coffee 2 different ways in here. And then 1 ounce of cream. And then we just shake it in a shaker. So I got to get some ice.
All right. Ice.
Cold brew. All right, so I've already added the vodka, the make my own Kahlua, the heavy cream, and the cold brew to this.
And with all this heavy cream, this is going to be dinner.
All right, so I know you're not a huge cocktail guy, but do you know why do you want to shake a cocktail versus why would you want to shake certain cocktails and stir other cocktails?
So stirring is, stirring will be less dilution because less stress on the ice. Is that it? Is it dilution thing?
Yeah, it's a little. You want. So if you're using premium spirits, you're not adding a lot of other stuff. You do want the water to get into the cocktail a little bit and dilute it just a little bit. It makes the flavors kind of open up a little bit. So, also, when you're shaking your cocktail, don't shake like this, please. That really makes me angry. You want to turn to the side and give yourself a lot of surface area.
That helps.
It does help. The more surface area, the easier it is to cool it.
Right. So if you're listening to this and want to see what Christian's talking about, you can go to Facebook, our Facebook page, and find the video probably 2 weeks earlier of Christian shaking it on camera.
All right. That looks tasty.
All right. So this is
coffee white
the
Russian.
Christian Ott White Russian. You could knock back a few of those. I mean, that's
nice. Like the cold brew just really kind of... It comes out a little bit more. It's not as sickly sweet. We're going to use it with Kahlua.
And I like that it's not so sweet. I do not like really sweet drinks.
You can kind of get it on the finish. It's really nice. So we're going to go thinner after this. We're not just going to sit here and drink heavy cream. We're not 8, back 000, on the bulletproof.
8,000 calories. Yeah, if you guys didn't listen to our bulletproof episode, you should do that. It was good times. You'll learn a lot about bulletproof coffee if you've heard people talk about it. You'll know why it's a thing. We outline everything about bulletproof from the nutritional so-called benefits to the flavor profile, how to make it. It's all on there, stonecreekcoffee.com/podcasts, or you can get it on iTunes. All right, so we are now 2 out of 5. What's round 3?
Round 3, let's finish this, just because I got a feeling like our stomach is going to curdle a little bit.
With the next one?
With the next one, because we're doing a gin and tonic style drink, a cold brew tonic.
And we need to go in that order?
We need to go in that order, just due to kind of...
Okay, I'm going to probably not drink all of this.
I probably won't drink all of this either. This is really tasty.
Yes.
In the name of science, we need to pace ourselves.
All right, so... Yeah. So, round 3,
and this one can be made non-alcoholic. So this is something I kind of discovered this summer. One of our coworkers, significant other, led me on to cold brew tonics. And cold brew tonic is as simple as it sounds. You make a really concentrated cold brew like we did. Again, this one is 5 parts water to 1 part coffee. So if you have a scale, you have 100 grams of water, 20 grams of coffee. So really, really, really up to
this. And then you steeped that for a long time
I steeped it for 24 hours. I actually strained it through a cloth filter because it was a lot easier to use. But you can do it through a paper filter. You can do it through a metal filter. This is what a cloth filter looks like.
A sock.
What I have here is we have this concentrated cold brew that we had before. So this is our Costa Rica Lava Flow. We have this awesome gin that we got a couple weeks ago.
From Aaron.
So it's equal parts gin and cold brew. And then we top it with a little tonic water.
Cool.
And I got some really nice Fever Tree tonic water. It's really nice. I don't know if you're a tonic water guy.
Yeah, yeah. Bitter anything guy. Bubbly.
Anything bubbly.
And I'm actually looking forward to this after all that cream. Something refreshing.
All right, so equal parts. I'm going to top a little tonic water. And give it a quick stir with my bar spoon.
Otherwise known as a butter knife.
You can find a bar spoon, but cheers.
All right. Man, you're winning today. It's on point.
Oh, that gin is tasty along with that. And you get the coffee aromatic. So we're not using a dark roasted coffee at all. And we're trying to get some more aromatic off of it. If you like that spiciness, go with the dark roasted coffee when you're making your really high concentrate. But if you want something a little sweeter and a little more acidic, light roast coffee gets you all the way. There's a celery note.
Gin and cold brew tonic, you need something. I would recommend something lighter and more delicate. But if you're playing with whiskey, you got to fight the whiskey. But gin is so much more chill. All right, so that's 3. And that I think 3. I will drink all of this. So we've done gin and tonic with cold brew. White Russian with cold brew. We did Irish coffee with our French roast, which was all of them have been delicious. And again, all of these recipes will be on our blog.
All right. Next, we're going to go to a very traditional cocktail, one that's really special to us in Wisconsin. We call that, let's see, old-fashioned.
Mm.
And I get the brandy old-fashioned that we drink a lot of around here. I don't know if you've ever had one, Drew.
I've tried them. I've never had, like, a full one.
They're interesting, but I enjoy a bourbon old-fashioned. And so that's what we're going to make, but we're going to infuse it with a little bit of cold brew. And kind of gives it this nice spiciness. And so what we're going to do is we're going to add 2 ounces of bourbon, half an ounce of cold brew, a couple dashes of orange bitters, 1 dash of Angostura bitters, a dash of chocolate. I actually have some Aztec chocolate mole bitters, which are really nice. We're going to give that a nice stir and strain it out, and we're going to have a really nice coffee old-fashioned.
The recipe we're working off of calls this Black Hole Sun. That's
which makes
awesome.
Me think of, is it Soundgarden that has the song
Black Hole Sun? I think so. Black Hole Sun. That one?
It is. The only reason I know that, ashamed, is because I play Guitar Hero every once in a while. It's one of the Guitar Heroes.
They play it on 102.1.
That's accurate.
That's how I know
it's our alternative rock station.
Black Hole Sun. Won't you come wash away the brain? Anyway, so that was cool.
If you have a Boston strainer, this works out really well. Again, this is a cocktail that's stirred, not shaken.
If you have a finger,
but we're all friends here, so it works out.
This smells so good. Here, why don't you try it first?
Go for it. I've had it before. I actually made it a couple nights ago. And we're using a small batch 1792 that I found at Party Source down in Cincinnati. It's a select single barrel.
Mm. This is phenomenal. This is probably my favorite cocktail of the night. This is
so it's
super good.
A little bit of a coffee aromatic, those chocolate bitters, which are made by Few Brothers. They're like $6.
They stand out. Yeah, it is really good. And it's, I mean, it's pretty festive, too, with the spice and the chocolate. All day, people.
That's really nice.
So, the coffee cold brew old-fashioned, you'll want to check out that one for reals.
That was 4, and we're getting down to 5.
All right.
Siciliano.
Like from Sicily.
It's from Sicily. I don't have a Boston strainer here, and all those of you know that a Boston strainer is, some of you might not know, it's one of those kind of wiry looking handle things that goes on top of. I can't. How
it's
else
got
would
like
you describe?
The spring. It's like a spoon with a spring around the end.
That's a much better description than what I came up with. But yeah, so that's the best way to do it, especially if you're stirring your cocktails in a tumbler. But if you're shaking a normal shaker, just with the 2-part metal and then a little cap on top.
Strainer
will work really well. So a while back, I made Drew taste Campari, which is a bitter liqueur. I can't remember. I don't think you liked it very much. It was really harsh.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a thing you normally would just like, hey, I'm going to have a Campari. Like, if you're putting it in something, it can really be a nice accent, but you don't want it to play first fiddle.
So what I have really been into are bitter cocktails, and I like the experience of bitter.
Well, and you didn't initially like bitter, right? I mean, you had
no.
to sort of learn bitter with the IPA. And
I forced myself to learn bitter. So there's this really awesome craft beer bar across the street from our Bayview Cafe called Sugar Maple. And when I started at Stone Creek as a barista, I was drinking, you know, Spotted Cow and all the light beers, and I wanted to be a cool kid. And so I tried an IPA for the first time. I just didn't get it. I'm like, dude, I'm never going to drink these. I'm like, no, wait. I just don't understand this flavor yet. Mm. So I went hard. I tried as many as I could, and eventually, like, I figured it out. I don't know if you were the same way with it, or if you just, like,
yeah, no, I was,
you dug them right away.
So I started drinking beer, not until I was 22. Like, I wasn't a young drinker. And so then for me, it was lagers. Like, I thought I liked lager because I didn't understand ales. Now I, like, never drink a lager. The only lager I really drink is River West from Lakefront. And then once I started drinking ales, then it was normally amber or the occasional dark. And so IPAs came much later. That bitterness is hard to sort of get over. It's a learned appreciation. It's not really natural, like something that's sweet.
Well, your body naturally reacts to bitter as something that's bad for
poisonous.
You. It's poisonous. Although, like, it's strange because a lot of things that are bitter are actually really good for us. I'm not a big fan of kale, but I know the nutrient values in kale.
I enjoy kale. Yeah.
It's kind of a weird...
It's really... So if you cook it, it gets really buttery. That's especially true. If you cook it with that a little bit of butter, and then it's like, oh my gosh, it's all butter. And if you like butter...
We're getting up on a tangent. Yeah. We're getting too far down Drew Avenue here. So what we're really doing here is we're making like a cold brew, kind of like a Negroni, kind of like a Bouvardier. We're going to use an Amaro, which is an Italian bitter liqueur. I have Fernet here.
Oh, wow.
So, well, Fernet. We're supposed to use vermouth, but I forgot to grab vermouth, but I have Madeira, so that'll work just fine. It's a nice little substitute. We're going to use some strong brewed cold brew. Again, we're going to use our Costa Rica Lava Flow, a little bit of simple syrup, shake it up. I would normally serve it up, but I don't have an up glass with me, so we're going to join this nice little wine glass here.
Cool. So as Christian makes this final cocktail, and coffee's really, it's not the main component in any of these, I think, nor should it be. I mean, coffee and alcohol, if you ever have, like, if you tried to make an Irish coffee with mostly coffee, a little half and half and whiskey, like, that's just not good eats. You just really end up with a super medicinal coffee. If you use a heavy whipping cream, if you have equal parts cold brew or hot brewed coffee and spirit, you're going to end up with a much better tasting beverage than if coffee is the primary. So using them as Christian is in all of these cocktails as the accent, you get some fantastic products. All of these things were amazing. I would leave you a big tip.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Last one.
This is a Siciliano. So, like I said, this would normally be served in an up glass. We got a nice little wine cocktail here. But, so this is Amaro. I'm using Fernet. It called for vermouth. I lied. It's not Madeira. It's sherry that I pulled, but it's a nice sherry. Cold brew and simple syrup.
Okay. Cheers.
Cheers.
Ooh, cough medicine. Pass. Nope. Don't drink this one.
Don't listen to Drew. Those of you that really like a nice after-dinner cocktail that kind of breaks up, it's more of that bitter. It has kind of a minty aftertaste to it, too.
If you're the kind of person who likes mouthwash after their meal.
Yo, I like Fernet. Did you know, little thing, if you go to a place and you're like in food industry and someone buys you a shot, it's usually a shot of Fernet. It's kind of like a food industry thing.
Really?
Or bartenders,
that's
they buy
terrible.
Shots of Fernet. It's complex.
What a bad drink.
So we can edit this one being before everything else. So you're like the bad one first.
Yeah.
And this one's, I would wager that most of my family, if I make this for them, you're like, yeah, I don't want this.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, like, you have to be into menthol and cigarettes. Menthol cigarettes. No, it's not,
whoa,
it's not
dude.
There's nothing
whoa,
smoky
dude.
About it.
No.
But there is a certain vapor rubby quality to it. It's sweet, there's a nice fruity front, but then it feels like I just used mouthwash. I am judging pretty hard because it's just not my jam.
Have you had Fernet straight up?
No. It's my lucky day. It's a candy cane in liquid form, but more intense. All right, so when it's all said and done, I mean, if you are into liquid candy canes, that thing.
The Siciliano.
Might be.
Our coworker Val would really appreciate that we have a Sicilian drink. Hopefully her mob family doesn't come knock us off. We've demonstrated that you can use coffee in cocktails, and we hope that you... Well, those of you that have listened to us on Facebook Live sooner or seen us on Facebook Live sooner, maybe you got some of these cocktails out for your family at Christmas. Those of you that are listening to the podcast now,
it's
always New Year's.
Yeah.
So some brand new Year's cocktails. And if you guys have some other coffee cocktails you're into, shoot us a recipe. We'd be down to check them out and play around with them. Always get an opportunity to geek out with some coffee and check out some other things.
You can go onto iTunes and leave us a review and read what other people have said about the podcast. We have very nice people on there who said nice things. They're fantastic.
What just happened just now? I'm really sad that that's going to happen.
My impression.
Yeah.
Anyway. Or you can go listen to the entire backlog of episodes of the Stone Creek Coffee podcast on that same iTunes or stonecreekcoffee.com/podcasts. We have episodes about cold brew, about coffee careers I just mentioned. We have episodes about dialing in your manual brew and your espresso. Episodes about barrel-aged coffee, bulletproof coffee. Like, this is the 43rd episode. That's a lot of coffee talk.
So, at some point, I feel like we're going to have to stop numbering.
Yeah, right.
This is
episode 141.
This is the episode that you've come to expect to be on the air this week.
It's here, and it's staying. All right, so until next time, we are geeks.
And we are talking coffee, and hope you had a happy holidays.